We often talk about relationships, we talk about parenting, we talk about all those things in church, but we don't often talk about is friendship. And that's where we're headed today. We're going to be talking about friendship. Really important thing for us to have friends. And before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we just come. We thank you for who you are. We're thankful that you call us friends because of your son and what he has done for us on the cross. And so, God, we just ask that you would be with us, that you would bless us, that you would be just a part of this service as we open your word, that it would bless you and it would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. What's crazy about friendship is it's something that we all need, isn't it? It's something that we desire, we want, and sometimes we just don't know how to develop it. Remember when you were like 7 years old? Like, to develop a friend, you're like, oh, you're seven? I'm seven. You like trucks? I like trucks. We're friends, right? Like, that's how it worked. When you're like in your 40s or 30s or whatever, it just doesn't work as simply as that. I remember one of my best friends growing up, how we met. It was back in the day where not everybody had a computer at their house. It was fourth grade, and if you wanted extra computer time, you had to stay after school. And so I stayed after school to play Oregon Trail. Awesome, right? One of the great games of all time. And there was this other kid there named Birdman. His real name's Jason, but we called him Birdman. And him and I played Oregon Trail together. Great time, and every day after that, till I was 18 and left for college, we hung out, basically. And that's how we became friends. That's just not how it works, though, for most of us in our adulting years. Almost anything bad that you do, if you think about friendship, anything that is not really fun to do, whether it be splitting wood, stacking wood, building something, whatever you don't really kind of like to do, it's a whole lot more fun with friends there, right? It makes it good. And almost anything good can be sometimes not really as good or even terrible without friends, right? You feel lonely. You feel displaced. I remember my first week in college, I went to the dining hall. And you've all had this experience. I didn't know anybody at college, the college I went to. And I walked in there and there's a sea of like 300 people sitting, eating at this time slot. And I have my tray of food. And I've never felt so alone in my life. Where am I going to sit? What am I going to do? And I walked up. There's a table of these guys. And I walked up and I said, can I sit here? And I sat down. They said yes. And I got to sit down with them. I don't think I said a word. I was pretty shy back in those days. And I remember going back to my room in that night. And it was I realized it was the first time I was really alone. I didn't have any kinfolk there. And I didn't have any friends. And that sense of loneliness really hit me. And I really wanted to just go home. I wanted to go home where mama was and daddy was and all my friends were. That's what I felt like inside. I didn't, but that's what I felt like because of this disconnect from not having friends. Some of you may feel that when you come to church. One of our values here at Evangel is that we connect you. So we want to connect you with friends. We want you to have friends. We want to give you opportunities. Pre-COVID, we had a little bit better plan on that. We'd have fellowship dinners and we would have other things. But we do have some affinity groups that are to connect Silver Streaks, Chinese Fellowship, men's events, pre-COVID, you know, the fellowship dinners and those types of things. We have MOPS. Those things are connected to the scriptures, but they're also connection points. We want you to be connected. Because we know a few things. We know that satisfaction and longevity of you being here and being a part of being connected to us is, one is the quality of Sunday morning services, and two is, do you have friends? It just is how it works. You can have great friends and you can probably endure maybe not the best Sunday morning. You can probably endure on the other side. Great sermon, great music, all of those things, but how long will you endure? That's the question. Friendship is a wonderful gift when you have it, and it's increasingly hard to come by in our society. One of the things that I think is interesting is our culture knows that friendship sells. Think of all of the great shows, the great sitcoms of the last 10 or 15 years. So what do you have? You have shows like Seinfeld. You have, which is what? It's a group of friends dysfunctional as all get out, but funny at the same time, right? But it's a group of friends. You have Friends, the show. You have Cheers. Maybe that's a little old school where everyone knows your name. You have Big Bang Theory. Again, group of friends. You have The Office. Dysfunctional office friends, right? But Hollywood understands this, and we watch this and we go, man, this, there's something about that that it naturally attracts our hearts to this. I think it is one of the hardest times in history to create friendships. Part of it is we have a transient lifestyle. We move for jobs. We have disposable income to take vacations and do things of that nature. So we travel, we go on vacation. Even our houses, how they're designed. If you go to Lake London, where my parents live, they have a front porch. What a crazy idea, right? If you go to my house, we have a deck and a patio. Totally different, right? Not wrong, just different, right? It's not as conducive. Even technology kind of plays a weird part in this. Our lifestyles of running our kids from one evening event to another evening event, again, not wrong, different, but really not that conducive to creating relationships, because relationships, they take time, they take effort. Friendships take that all-in type of an idea. One of the things that social media has done is it has connected us to a lot of people. I have lots of friends on social media. I'm not sure they're really friends. I'm not sure that if I need to be bailed out that I would call, you know, probably 800 of them that are on there. I would not call, right? They're not really friends. And yet, technology has also helped us in some ways. I was going with Travis and we were going out to Las Vegas, and my wife said to me, she said, let's put Marco Polo on your phone. And I said, no. You guys know what Marco Polo is? My wife uses this all the time with her friends. You take a video and then you send it over to somebody, and then they take a video of themselves talking back or responding back. And it's not like you have to be there at that moment to receive the call or the text or respond to it. And so it's a way of people just kind of communicating in that. And it works really well for her and her friends. And she says, well, that way we won't miss each other, because I know you're going to be busy. And I said, I'm just going to call you. I'm just going to call you. Go old school, right? I'm going to just call you. And she's like, no, just put it on there. And she's like, why won't you put it on there? And I said, I didn't have a really good reason other than I really didn't want to. And I'm not a middle-aged woman. And so that's what I said. I'm not a middle-aged woman. That didn't go over very well. So, technology can help us and help us connect. It also can hurt us, gives us all sorts of acquaintances. I want you to think just for a moment. Think about this statement. If I were to define friendship this way, acquaintance is someone you may see often, but there is never an obligation to see them again. So you run into a conference, you see them at the office, but you don't feel an obligation to go and plan something. Acquaintance is someone you just run into. You end up at the same places. How many friends do you actually have, if you define it that way? Not all friends are lifelong friends, right? I'm gonna be careful on that. There are seasonal friends, and so you'll move to another place. I've experienced this in my life. I've had some great friends in Minnesota. I had some great friends in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I do not talk to them now because they were seasonal friends. But they were friends that I was obligated in that season to call, to talk to. And so there are very few, I think, lifelong friends. But there are seasonal friendships where we feel an obligation to connect with them, to see how things are going. What does it look like in their life? How are they doing to share life together? And if we define it like that, how many friends do we actually have? Friendship is necessary, but it's also one of the least natural things that happen in this world. It's not biological, right? Like, my kinfolk are my kinfolk because they're my kinfolk, right? Like, they just are, right? That's not how friendship works, right? But it's a choice that we make to enter into being a faithful friend. The scriptures say, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of the fool will suffer harm. Friendship is a choice. You don't choose your family, you don't choose your neighbors, you don't choose your coworkers, but you get the option to choose friendships, and it's an important choice. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man or woman, or you might just say a faithful friend who can find. The Proverbs recognize the uniqueness of friendship, of faithful friendship. Today I want to focus on this, that there's a faithful friend that is characterized in Proverbs. And I want to focus on not if you have those faithful friends, but are you those faithful friends? How do we become this faithful friend? If you're here today and you're going, man, I am bad at finding friends. I'm going to be harsh for just a moment and don't walk out all sad and depressed. It could be that you're not good at being a friend. That's why you are bad at finding friends. If you're needy and want someone to come in and always be the one to rescue you, you're probably going to have a hard time finding friends. It just is. But if you're a faithful friend, you will not have, according to this, a hard time. Who can find faithful friends? We all want faithful friends, right? And if you are a faithful friend, you're going to have all kinds of friends. The question for today is, what can I do to be that sort of friend that God's word is calling me to be? I believe if you follow that, it will produce friendships. In the Proverbs, there seems to be three types of characteristics of friends. And I worked very hard on this, so I want you to like this. And it goes like this. Foe, foe, faithful. Foe, foe, faithful. Those are the three. It's like a song, right? So foe, in the sense of F-A-U-X, an imitation friend. Foe, a friend that becomes an enemy, friend or foe. And then faithful friends. Those are the three characteristics. You're going to remember that, even though you're laughing right now, because that took me a long time to come up with. Foe, foe, faithful. So let's look at some of these characteristics. The first one is that faux friend, an imitation friend. This person is looking to be your friend because there is some type of personal gain for them. It's a fake friend, really. In Proverbs, this is connected usually to power or money. These people use people. The fake friends or the faux friends make friends with people who will give them something. It's all about personal gain. Proverbs 19:4, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. The poor, and this is Proverbs 14:20, the poor is disliked by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Proverbs 19:6 and 7, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. In the Proverbs, we see that wealth attracts friends, or at least so-called friends. Remember the story of the prodigal son. Daddy gives him, he gives him all of the money, right? He says, here's your inheritance, go. And he goes out and he parties like a rock star, and he has tons of friends, right? They're all over the place. And then the money runs out and he's sitting there and he has no friends. He's eaten with the pigs, right? We see this play out. I don't think it just happens with wealth. It can be a position of power that you're in and people want something for you. You see this play out in the playground. This person who you thought was a close friend, and they side with the popular kid in school and begin to make fun of you. The question becomes why? Well, most likely these kids that somebody's making fun of you, and then this kid's kind of going along who you thought was your friend. Why are they doing this? Because they're attracted to the popularity. They're attracted to the power. This doesn't change that much from playground to when we get older. It's a good determiner of a friend. How are they? Or how are you when other people are around with that person next to you? Are you a social climber? Billy Graham, he was America's pastor. He was a pastor to the presidents. Like 50 years, He was kind of the pastor, right? He was friends with them. He was connected with them. Some of them wanted to be connected to him because they had spiritual needs and stuff like that. Others, it was out of just, he was who he was, and there was a deep connection there just because he was Billy Graham. But I think the greatest thing about Billy Graham is he never wanted anything from them. I think that's why he could talk with them, that he was connected to them, that they wanted him, his counsel, because he wasn't asking for anything other than to listen, to hear, which is probably a rarity, I would guess, in Washington. We have to make sure our love for our friends is for them, not a love for what they can give us. In the business world, it is okay to network. It's not wrong to network with people. It's actually a really good thing to network with people and connect with people. But this is not friendship. It's not friendship. You know, it's hard when you're in a place of a position of power or money or people. You kind of go, well, why are they being nice to me? Is it because they like me, or is it because they like my stuff? Is this just so if I scratch their back, they'll scratch my back? That's not real friendship. Some of you right now, your minds are buzzing and you're going, man, do I have faux friends? Right? Like that's in your mind. Others of you are thinking about your relationship and go, oh man, maybe I've been a faux friend. Some of you have been guarded from true friendship because you've been hurt by faux friends. And you don't know who to trust. And as we look at this text, you go back to the painful moment that you realized it. Here's the second one that Proverbs goes through. Are you a faux friend? F-O-E. A faux friend is masquerading as a friend, however, they're not really interested in friendship. They become an enemy to you. They're rude. They may be socially unaware. They will easily sell you out or have an opinion that is hypercritical on everything that you do. They're always tell you that you should have done this. They're always that 20/20 hindsight friend, right? Everything is kind of about them, and it dictates around their emotions and how they feel in that moment. Great friends have curiosity about you, about us. Great friends, if you want to be a great friend, here's how it is. You ask great questions. You inquire about the other person. You humbly ask questions to befriend them. You start asking questions. Hey, what about this in your life? What about this? How did this work? You know what? People like that. That's what I found, right? They like that you want to know them, that you want to befriend them. You have a curiosity about them. You've ever been around a super negative person? That's not fun. That's not fun to be in friendship with. It's kind of draining. They see the world and all of your flaws in the world. Proverbs 11:12 says this, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. It's okay in friendship to not articulate all of your opinions. I know, that's something crazy for all of us to think, oh, they don't need to know that, right? Often we share as a means of self-expression. We don't think of what those words might be doing in somebody's life or how they're affecting them. There is a time to share our opinions and frustrations, but it's not all the time. A faux friend gets involved in conflict that could have been avoided. Proverbs 3:29-30, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Have you ever had this happen to you? Or have you done it to others? You almost ruin a friendship because you have had a bad day. Ever have that? Yeah. Or because you were suspicious or jealous, or you had this conversation going on in your head about why they did what they did, and you never asked them. You just kind of talk about it, and you've decided, you and yourself have decided what their motives were. Have you ever had that, right? And then you start to plan, I'm going to get that turkey, right? Like you start to get crazy, right, in your head. We see this at times in friendship. We see this when someone's having a bad day. You see this in the home, right? Mom's having a bad day. Dad now having a bad day. So the kids are now having a bad day, right? It kind of works like that. That happens in friendships sometimes. Sometimes something went wrong or it wasn't a good day at home, and you're quick to snap, to assume the worst, to not give the benefit of the doubt, to be critical of your friends. It's not just a matter of temperament. It's about being rude. Annoying people often are not aware of that they're annoying. Did you ever notice that? We're just annoying, right? Or they don't care about social customs and cultural norms. Proverbs 27:14 describes it this way. It says, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing, right? Like you're yelling in the morning and you're going, hey, I'm just being friendly. And everyone's like, no, you don't even understand. I was sleeping. This is bad. This is not so good. Maybe you know this proverb. It's been one that has often, I think, convicted my heart because I'm funny. And sometimes making fun of people is fun. And I have to be careful of this because I don't mean harm by it, but it causes harm. And Proverbs 26:18-19 says, like a madman who throws firebrand arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, okay, I'm only joking. So get this picture in your head. Guy's like running around and he's like, boom, boom, and he's shooting fiery arrows up, and you're like, what are you doing? I'm just having some fun, right? This is good. Well, that hit me in the back and it hurts. Well, I was just kidding. No big deal, right? That's the picture that Proverbs talks about. It's just a joke. Brothers and sisters, kids, they tease each other, don't they? It's just how it works, right? I think guys like to tease each other, and they like to joke and kibitz around a little bit, and it's one way that we connect with each other. I think there actually is a way of kidding with each other that connects us to each other, just kind of makes fun of that, and there's a shared humor in all of that when we tease people. And there's a way to tease people that is just rude. It's picking on a mistake or picking on a flaw. It's not whether or not your words are intended for harm or to hurt someone. The question that I think we wrestle with, and we all wrestle with, do your words cause harm? Do your words in your friendship cause harm? Words can hurt after you launch them, no matter your intention. Saying, I'm joking, my wife has taught me, doesn't really work. You got to be careful. So I want to talk to you sensitive people. I am not one of those. And so if you're sensitive, this is what the Bible says. Don't be so easily offended. Quit it. Don't be so easily offended. But for the rest of us, emotionally impaired and sensitive people, make sure that your fiery arrows that you're shooting up that you think are just funny, they're not hurting people, because hopefully that's not ever your intention. But if you're making your friend the butt end of every joke, you might not be a biblical friend. That's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 25:17, let's continue on. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. That's some strong language, right? In one sense, we want to be able to go into each other's house. I want people my friends to go, hey, you can go and grab whatever you want. I don't care. Just tell me that you're there, whatever. And then there's this other part where people, they wear out their welcome. Ever have a friend wear out their welcome? That's a difficult one, right? They start to take you for granted in your friendships. They start to presume something, feel entitlement. This can come when families get together, families and kids and everything, and everyone has a way of life in families, how you operate, what your house looks like, what are the house rules, all of those types of things. I was talking with some friends of mine. They have a fairly large family, and they were going over to this other person's house that they were not really friends with yet. They were just beginning a friendship. And the mom prepped the kids. She said, hey, when you get there, you know, you're going to put some food on their plate, on your plate. But if there's not a lot, kind of calculate in your head, like there's nine people here, so nine people have to eat off of whatever. So if it's something you really like, take a little bit. That's good. The mom said that, you know, their family, when they have chicken, they usually get two chickens because they're a fairly large family, right? And so they got there, and this family had a half a chicken. So you got two more people, and they're down a chicken and a half. And she's like, how is this going to play out? Right? My kids are there. I've prepped them, but how is this going to play out? And how it played out is her kids took just a little bit of food. They understood that there was like a different expectation, a different understanding, a different, and that's helpful. You know, it's going over to a friend's house and making sure you're watching your kids, being respectful of the friend's house. You're still a guest at your friend's house, even though if you feel like it's your home and that is a gift. But are you respecting that? Respecting someone else's house isn't just a cultural thing. It's a biblical thing, according to this. The next is where a friend, they become, for me, a foe in a New York minute. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword on a sharp or a sharp arrow. Proverbs 23:10 says, do not move an ancient landmark or enter the field of your fatherless, for their redeemer is strong. He will plead their cause against you. So this is a blatant liar, a deceiver. But it's even sometimes more subtle than that. Proverbs 3 talks about this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. I will give it when you have it with you. In other words, a good friend is eager to meet the need of a neighbor or a friend, not pushing them away, keeping them at arm's length. Yeah, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll help you tomorrow. You know, it's like the sign, you know, free beer tomorrow, free help tomorrow, right? Like it's always tomorrow. Faux friends don't keep their end of the bargain. They don't return the favor. They don't give back what they've borrowed. They're slow to help. They avoid being put out at all by their friends. They're always out of town. They always have something to do when you're moving, right? They're always busy when you need a ride to the airport. You cannot trust them to keep their word. Sometimes they're secretive about things. And the story is there, and you're kind of listening to it, and it comes out later, and you're like, what in the world? Why didn't you just tell me that? And you know, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, and you kind of start to, and you're like, well, why didn't you just, like, why are you, am I not trusted enough? And it's not just lying right at you, but there's this deception or this feeling of deception. It builds distrust, and it's bits of pieces of that story comes out. In reality, if you're not telling the truth, you're not respecting your friends. If you're not, if you're making your friend the butt of all your jokes, you're probably a faux friend. There's another picture in Proverbs, and man, I got to get through this stuff. Okay, this is the good stuff. Here's what we want to be biblically, right? This is what the Proverbs say. This is how we should be. So you have foe, and this is faithful. A faithful friend is there in times of trouble. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother that is far away. In the ancient world, family was, kinship was everything. In the Proverbs, it says, don't go to your brother's house. The thought is, don't overlook this friend that's right next to you, this real friend. They're like family, which means to be a faithful friend is to be there for people in their day of calamity, in their need. I grew up in Lake Linden, and it felt like everyone was related. Everyone was related to somebody else. And so you better be careful what you say, right? Otherwise, there's family feuds and all of that things. But everyone had this blessing of family. But as I read this proverb, there's a person who doesn't have these built-in relationships. Their family's far away. They're not right next door. And the safety of family is not there for them. I think to be a faithful friend, it's understanding that. It's understanding when they don't have that kinfolk right next to them and being that for them, connecting that to them, reaching out to them. There's nothing that brings people closer together than when you're helping each other. I was talking to one of my friends. He's a pastor buddy of mine. I said, hey, what's the greatest thing that you've done? He is a church planter. I said, what's the greatest thing you've done in the last 5 years to really help your church move forward and take kind of a next step? And you know what he said? You would think it would be a Bible study, a worship service, or something like that, a prayer meeting. He said, we built a barn together. And I said, you built a barn together? Yeah, we had this barn raising. And I said, hey, guys, come out with your hammers and your saws and bring some friends that don't normally go to church. And I said, that worked? And he goes, yeah, it worked. People came out. All these guys came out. And in 2 days, we built this barn. And in 2 days, they built friendships and relationships. And these guys who would never walk into church went, hey, if we can do stuff like that, those people aren't so weird, those church people. And they started coming to church, found Jesus, said yes to Jesus for the very first time. He's like, this is the greatest thing I ever did. It was helping each other. It was connecting friendships. Foe, and then there's faithful. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Contacts and businesses are good. Networking can be valuable. Having a plethora of acquaintances and well-wishers is nice. It's great on your birthday, right? When you get all those birthday wishes on Facebook. It's wonderful, right? Real friendship is proven in adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who's going to visit you in the hospital? Who are you? Do you need to visit in the hospital? Who would drop everything to be there if, God forbid, your spouse dies? Who would be there in that for you? Or maybe you're having marital conflict. Who's going to be there for you guys? The opposite of a faux friend is this faithful friend. The faux friend is in it to win it for himself, and he will leave you when life is messy. The faithful friend says, your life is messy. I'm coming over. I'm coming over. A faithful friend holds no grudges. They can handle conflict. They don't keep a long, detailed thing of, man, I don't like this about you. You did this back in 1984, and you did this and that. And that's not how a faithful friend operates. Faithful friends don't seek revenge. It doesn't mean they don't have conflict. It doesn't mean they don't confront. But they're not seeking revenge. They're seeking a way to understand and to forgive and to walk forward. Proverbs 24:28, be not a witness against your neighbor without cause. Do not deceive him with your lips. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay back the man for what he has done. It's not a faithful friend. 21:10, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. A faithful friend is eager to let the past be the past. Yes, we confront. Yes, we talk. Yes, we speak. But it's not the thing we're dwelling on. It's not the thing that we're always bringing up. A faithful friend is slow to speak of the other person's faults. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. I think one of the things that in friendship that you can break a friendship up very quickly is you're mad at that person, and then you go over to this friend over here, then over to this friend over here, and over here, and over here, and the merry-go-round starts going. And guess what? Your friendship gets real dizzy at that point. It's real dizzy
Because you just need to have conversation. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Seek forgiveness. Seek reconciliation. That's what faithful friends do. Speak to your friends, not around your friends. Proverbs 16:29 says, a man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. When your friends are around you, are you leading them in a way that's toward Jesus? Are you leading them in a good way that's encouraging them? Are you leading them in a way of just being a faithful friend? Or are they coming away like, man, that was a good time, but I feel a little dirty. I feel a little dirty after that. There's something just not right. Are they leading you into situations that are just not comfortable? Bad company, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Your strongest relationships will be those who push you toward Jesus. Those who lead you toward Christ, not draw you away from Christ. That's especially true when you're young. Man, you need people who are pushing you toward Jesus. You just need it. When you're in college, when you're in high school, man, you need people who are speaking. Because you, man, there's lots of fun things in this world that is going to get you in lots of trouble. You need not those people to push you. That can't be. We need to be engaging to non-Christians and people who are not pushing us. But we need to have good friendships with people who know the Lord and are pushing us toward that. Proverbs 27:9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Speak truth into each other. Your friends should be able to talk to you about the hardest things in your life. That's a good friend. You should be able to talk to people, not forced, but I mean, the hard things in life are your flaws, your money, those things that we want to keep hidden, but getting advice. Man, wouldn't it be awesome to have friends where you go, you know, I'm thinking about buying this house. What do you think? And you could trust them? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, well, oftentimes we go, well, I'm going to buy this house. And we tell them, not ask them. And do you have friends that you can just go, what do you think about this? I'm about to buy this over here. Or I'm about to marry this gal over here, right? What do you think? And no, they don't have the final say, but there's wise counsel in that. And it's a beautiful thing if you have that trusted friendship, that depth of friendship. Iron sharpens iron, a really, really, you've probably been waiting for this. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. As a friend, you should be able to say the tough stuff. Friendship is not just going to battle with the other person in whatever cause they have. It's sometimes creating a little bit of friction in your friendship in a gentle, kind, loving way in order to sharpen them. Sometimes, guess what? We all have blind spots. And guess what? Our true friends can see those blind spots and they love us anyway. Isn't that awesome? And you should have that also. You should love your friends even though they do have some blind spots, but you should go and be connected to them. I want to talk about Jesus. I like Jesus. I love Jesus. And I hope you too. Greater love has no one than he's laid down his life for his friends. Jesus is awesome. He's the greatest friend we'll ever have. I want you to know that. You should be connected to that. He loves you. He died for you. He's never a faux friend. He doesn't need anything from any one of us. He doesn't need anything from us, but he laid his life down for us. He's your friend only seeking to give you an advantage. Man, that's a good friend, right? He's only seeking to give you an advantage. Eternal life in him. Man, that's a pretty good friend, right? Always looking out for your best interests. He laid down his life. He told you how to live. He said, hey, this is how you're going to have life to the full. You follow me. Follow what I'm saying. Man, I'm a great friend. Love me. Care about me. Know me. I want to know you. He's never a faux friend. He's never an enemy. He's not quick to criticize. He's slow to anger. He's never annoying. He's thoughtful and tender and gentle. And unlike all our friends, the Lord Jesus never lets us down. He's always trustworthy. He's always faithful. He is a faithful friend. My friends, in the gospel, there's some red letters. Those are words of Jesus. You want to be a great friend? Start reading the words of Jesus. Because he's the greatest friend of all. Greatest friend of all. We should be wanting to be like him. If you want to be a great friend, Jesus is our model. He sticks closer than a brother, and what a friend we have, all our griefs, all our trials to bear. What a friend we have in him. And what a friend that you can be as you walk in the ways of the Lord. Jesus laid down his life for us, and he's also laid it out for us in his word how to be a faithful friend. Let's pray. Father, we come. We want to be faithful friends. God, we didn't have enough time to talk and unpack all of this, but I ask that your spirit would do a solid and help us to understand what it means to be a faithful friend. How do we be a good friend? How do we be connected to each other? How do we love each other in the midst of all of our quirkiness and all of our stuff that we have? How do we speak truth in a loving, kind way? God, help us with this. We want to be iron that sharpens iron. We want to be friends that were there in the calamities of life, because there are trials, there are hardships, and we want to be those friends. God, help us to do that. Help us to do it well. Help us to point people to you. Help us to point all of our relationships to you, because you are the ultimate friend. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.